Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon or morning, wherever you may be, and welcome to another exciting episode of Let's Coach with Mark and Carolyn, the show that brings the best from the coaching world for you to use in your everyday life and what coaching can do for you. We bring you great small business ideas and some good news stories and stories about people paying it forward in their everyday lives. And if you guys have been listening to the show for a couple of weeks, then you've heard that Mark is taking a break for a while based on the car accident he had a couple months ago. He's taking time to recover from that, and we're keeping him in our prayers, and so he'll have a speedy and quick recovery and back to his full self soon. But today we're going to be talking about breaking up with binge eating with our guest, Michelle McClintock. And so for those who are new to our show, if it's your first time listening, my name is Carolyn Owens, and I'm the chairwoman and CEO of Infinity Coaching Incorporated, where we help you up-level your skills so you can up-level your income. And we do this through career, leadership, and life coaching with one-on-one coaching, group coaching, workshops, and assessments that help our clients create the life of their dreams. And we have a lot of fun doing it. We have a lot of fun in the process. So you find me here on Wednesdays on our show at noon Eastern Time. But if you want to connect with me throughout the week, you can find me all over social media. You can find me on Facebook. At our Facebook business page there is infinitycoaching.co. And on Twitter, you can find me at Carol R. Owens. And if you guys know, if you're a regular listener, you guys know Twitter is my favorite social media platform. So that's probably the first place that you should look for me. And also, if you are a fan of Twitter and Periscope, you can find me on Periscope every Monday and Friday at 2 p.m. Eastern and every Thursday at 5:30 p.m. Eastern. And on Monday, and we're bringing you just some tips and strategies to help you move forward in your career and your life. And Thursday is all about real talk, you know, where we get and take all the things that we learn and try to really apply it to real life experiences, how it works with your community, you personally, and your business and your career. And Friday's that check-in before the weekend. We call it follow-up Friday. So it's time to kind of put it all together, you know, see how the tips and strategies work for you, and see any questions, ideas, suggestions. So we have a lot of fun there, too. And that's the same as Twitter, at Carol R. Owens. You can find me right there on Periscope, too. So we always start off the show with a few quick announcements of events that we are aware of. And I want to tell you guys, save the date. November 16th. It's actually almost here, about 3 weeks away. There's going to be a girls' night out at a Better You LLC in Odenton, Maryland, and it's November 16th from 5 to 8 p.m. It's a Wednesday night, and it's you can come anytime throughout the night. And a Better You, you can look them up on Facebook or on their website, and it's the address there is 1114 Town Center Boulevard, Suite G. And again, that's Odenton, Maryland. And it's actually being hosted by A Better You and my business, Infinity Coaching. And there's going to be things happening all throughout the night. There's door prizes. You get to meet some authors. There's a few vendors there. But it's sip, shop, and support local businesses. So it's going to be a lot of fun. I hope to see you guys there. And if you are there, you know, say hello. It would be great to see our listeners in person. And then you guys know, we talk about this one every year, that you save the date. It's not till March. It's March 5th, 2017, but it's the Pink event. And this year, it's the seventh year, and the founder of the event is Tamika Joseph Smith, and she's been giving away throughout the past couple months. It started in September, and it runs through November, and she's been giving away 7 VIP tickets before the tickets even go on sale. And you win it by participating in different giveaways that she's doing on Facebook. And to participate, you got to follow the Facebook page, but it's the event page, and it's the Pink Event, Ultimate Woman's Day Out Number 7. So if you go there, the Pink Event, Ultimate Woman's Day Out Number 7, you'll be able to follow the page, follow the event. You'll see she's been announcing the speakers. And one of our Infinity Coaching community members, Andrea Smith. And actually, Andrea's been a guest on the show before, and she's the author of The Process Matters. That's one of her books. She's actually going to be speaking there. And Andrea and I have communicated for several years through Facebook and social media, interviews, telephone, but we have never met in person. So this is going to be exciting to hear her speak at the Pink event, to actually see her in person. That's going to be pretty cool. But there's several speakers. You have the, we call it the Pink Pamper Lounge, where you can go in and sample some of the local area businesses, how they can pamper you. There's going to be seated chair massages. There's manicurists there, and just different other things that really get you in that going to make sure you're taking care of yourself. Self-care is so important, and it's one of those things that we neglect. And pampering yourself every now and then, it's not, you know, something selfish or something. We've got to take care of ourselves, because if we're not taking care of ourselves, how can we take care of other people? So it's definitely something that you want to look into, is making sure you do that self-care. So those two events coming up, you have the Girls Night Out, November 16th, and then the Pink event will be March 5th, 2017. And I believe they're still taking some vendors and exhibitors for the Pink event. And if you want to find out more about that, as well as sponsors, and it's a great event to be an exhibitor or sponsor at, because last year they had over 400 people come through. And this year they're anticipating over 500 people coming through. And people, they actually fly in to just come to this event. They stay at the hotel there, and it's really an awesome time. So definitely check that out. And you can go to the website, thepinkevent.net, to find out how you can be a sponsor of the event or be an exhibitor. And I will tell you, one of the recent sponsors of the event was Giant Foods. They just sponsored as well. So it's going to be some great, if you purchase a VIP ticket and you get the swag bag and everything, there's going to be some pretty cool stuff in that swag bag, so you want to definitely check it out. And there's also a charity raffle, so it's a really big event, and as you can say, I can talk about it forever. But really, I know our topic today is what we want to talk about. We want to talk about breaking up with binge eating. And our guest today is going to be Michelle McClintock. And, you know, when you think about breaking up with binge eating, you think about how it compares to breaking up, like, with a relationship and how hard that is to do. And it is actually hard to break up with that binge eating, that emotional eating and overeating, because it's often something that we've been doing for so long. And it's like breaking this pattern and some of the beliefs that we have and finding out, how do we begin to make peace with food? How do we stop this dieting, this binge eating, and this overeating? How do we begin to trust ourselves? And, you know, first, let's see, how many of us really can say we love our bodies? So Michelle herself is a former binge eater, overeater, diet addict. She knows how this feels. She's walked it. She's experienced it. But through her experience and being able to move forward and change herself, she went on to become a binge eating recovery specialist and a food freedom coach. You know, I said she struggled with being a chronic dieter at an early late age. And in her 20s, there was something that she was told that left her feeling ugly and undervalued. And you can imagine the power of our words and how this can stick with you for many, many years, and how it can really impact the struggle you're having with low self-esteem and how you're feeling about yourself, about your weight, your body image. And if you reach that point, and, you know, she did, where she just couldn't take it anymore. And she began to take control of food, and it was the food was no longer controlling her. As I said, with this healing process, it became a passion for her, and she began to work with individuals and in helping them break free from this pattern, from the dieting, the binging, and the overeating. And the result was that her clients and people that she was working with began to have this, that the happiest and healthiest body ever. You know, and it's not just her experiences. You know, we look a lot of times to see, well, you know, what is their training? What have they learned? So she has her experiences, which is a very strong basis for her. but she's also a certified health coach. As I said, she's a binge eating recovery specialist. She's a food freedom coach, but she also studied. She studied at the Institute of Integrative Nutrition in New York City, and she's also a member of the American Association of Drugless Practitioners. You know, you guys, you've heard me talk about this weight loss industry. It's this, you know, multi-billion dollar industry because a lot of people just want to medicate you, put you on drug, take this pill. So we'll be curious to see what she has to say about, you know, being a drugless practitioner. And she's also an NLP practitioner, an energy healer. So I'm very, very excited to have Michelle on the show with us, and I believe she's in the studio ready to join us. And I will turn her mic on. Hi, welcome to Let's Coach.
Hi, Carolyn, it's Michelle.
Hi, Michelle, welcome to the show. It's a pleasure to have you. I was just doing a brief introduction.
Yes. I was listening. I love that introduction. Thank you so much. What a wonderful introduction. I feel so honored. Thank you.
Oh, no, I'm happy to have you here because there's so many people who struggle in this area, and a lot of times, you know, it's just that right click, that right thing that they need to get the help they need.
Exactly.
And for you, this started very early on in life as a teenager where you were struggling with your weight.
Absolutely. And, you know, it was interesting because when I was younger, my mom really, like, gave us healthy food, right? She gave us, we had the crunchy wheat bread and the, oat, you know, the peanut butter you had to stir. And she was really a firm believer in healthy eating. So, which was great, but I always wanted to be the kid that had Wonder Bread. I always wanted to be the kid that had, you know, Twinkies in my lunch. And so when I became a teenager, I realized, you know, when I had my own money and I could, you know, kind of buy my own snacks, that when I would go and choose, I was choosing candy bars and chips and things that, you know, and that's where kind of my binging started was sneaking that stuff that was not inside of my house.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's funny.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you say that about sneaking things into the house and everything, you know, as a parent, I know oftentimes everybody looks at the parent and blames the parent that you gave this to them or, you know, you did this. But to hear you say, yeah, you were sneaking it in, it's not that your parents were necessarily giving it to you.
Right. Right, exactly. It wasn't really in the house. We didn't really have sweets and, you know, maybe some soda every now and then. But it wasn't, you know, we didn't have sugar cereals and all of that. You know, so I did grow up in a house that had more healthy eating options, but, you know, then when I was able to, you know, when I was a grown-up and started then even buying my own food, it was Fruit Loops for breakfast and lunch and, you know, all of these really unhealthy choices that started to impact my weight. Mm-hmm. You know, as well as, you know, in my teens, you know, I started going the other direction and doing some drinking and some other things as well. So I started binging on other things too, not just the sweets, which is kind of typical of people who get into binge patterns is you find that they may binge on other things as well than not just the food. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, but as you got older, you were the teenager and then in your 20s, it was something
right.
that somebody said to you that kind of kept you on this path. Can you share what that experience was?
Absolutely, absolutely. It was a boyfriend at the time, and I remember very vividly. We were having a couple's lunch, and he was complimenting my girlfriend, really complimenting her how beautiful she was, and she was very beautiful. And you know, I jokingly looked at him and said, "Hey, what about me?" And he looked at me and said, "Yeah, you're pretty in your own way." And the fact that he had so highly complimented my girlfriend, who was very physically beautiful, and then turned to me and said something like that, in the tone that he said it, I just remember the physical feeling of wanting to shrink into my own body and really wanting to hide and feeling like, well, what does that mean? I'm not as beautiful as her. I'm beautiful in my own way. You know, and it kind of brings up the thing where people will say, oh, you have such a pretty face. Oh, if only you lost weight, you would be so pretty. So it kind of felt in that kind of a context for me where it made me feel really not good enough in that moment. And after that, I started to try to lose weight after that, thinking, oh, I must not be thin enough. I must not be pretty enough to warrant him saying, you're so beautiful. So I kind of went on then to this path, and I got really thin, actually, after that. And I was pretty thin when that happened, but I got really thin after that and kind of started then on this journey of, you know, going on diets to lose weight and then gaining the weight back and dieting and gaining. And this whole diet binge cycle just started and went on for years and years and years. And I will have to say that it probably escalated the most after my son was born. So when I was pregnant, of course, with my first daughter, I gained 60 pounds and, you know, I had to do the dieting afterwards. And then with my son, I also gained quite a bit of weight. And after he was born, I was over 200 pounds and I started dieting and really finding myself in a place of not feeling good enough and not wanting to look into the mirror, not wanting to buy clothes and really not being able to accept who I was in that moment. And here I was, this successful career woman with a brand new baby and a beautiful daughter and a loving husband, and I was so unhappy. I was just so incredibly unhappy because every time I looked in the mirror, I saw failure, and I saw a lack of self-control and a lack of willpower and just, you know, the voices in my head that said, you're not good enough. You're not pretty enough. You're not, how can you not get your weight under control? You know, what is going on with you that you can't make this happen? So, like I said, I have this great career and, you know, this wonderful family. So I thought like, okay, I can do this and I can do this, but why can't I get the eating under control? Why can't I get the weight under control? And I have tried so many crazy diets. I don't know about you, Carolyn, but I mean, that kind of was the start of me just doing crazy, crazy diets. And before that, I had done things like I had tried the Atkins diet. I had tried the Master Cleanse. I'd tried the cabbage soup diet. But then, you know, I one time I did this crazy thing where I went to a woman's house and I had some sort of pin thing stuck in my ear to control my appetite. And, you know, the measures that we will go to try to lose weight are just so crazy. And I look back at some of the diets that I did and I just have to laugh thinking, oh my gosh, you know, but the diet industry, it's what, over $60 million. I mean, the diet industry is just crazy how much money is being made. And then we're looking on the flip side of that. There are, you know, millions of people right now that are struggling with binge eating. Right now, the numbers are around 4 million people that struggle with binge eating. And that's just the people that, you know, that they're reporting, right? So we know the number is much higher.
And so one of the things I do want to stress was you weren't happy with yourself. You had a husband that loved you. You had two wonderful children. But you were struggling with your identity and who you were.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I was really struggling with that because when you are in a place of not loving yourself and not accepting yourself, it's very difficult to be happy in other areas of your life. And it almost feels when you're in that place like you're faking it, like you're faking the happiness in all the other areas of your life. Mm-hmm.
So it was even, you know, years later, that about 10 years would go by before something finally kind of got a hold of you and said, whoa, what was that? What actually made you start thinking, there's something better?
Right. So what happened for me was I, when I was in my 40s, I had a hysterectomy and I had a full hysterectomy. So after that, I mean, so I'd gone through all this dieting and the binging and the restricting and the crazy diets that I'd been on. And, you know, and then my hormones were completely out of control. My digestion was completely out of control. Mm-hmm. And then I have this hysterectomy, and I went into immediate menopause. And so that just, everything that was inside of me amplified. It felt like a million times. The anxiety came up. The depression came up. The weight started packing on. The really critical self-talk started coming in really heavily because my hormones were so out of control. My eating was so out of control. My moods were so out of control. And like I said, the anxiety was really out of control too. And so after I had this hysterectomy, I really started paying attention to what I was eating and how food was making me feel because, of course, the doctors wanted to medicate me. They wanted to put me on antidepressants. They wanted to put me on hormone replacement therapy. And I just didn't want to live that way with all, you know, just having to rely on all of that. So I started paying attention to what I was eating and how food was making me feel. And I wanted to learn more about it. I wanted to learn more about what was going on for me. So that's when I enrolled in the Institute for Integrative Nutrition and got my holistic health coaching certification there. And during school, we talked a lot about what food works for what people, how one person's food is another person's poison. And, you know, we did talk, too, about, you know, overeating and emotional eating. And so after school, I started health coaching and I started working with women around their food and kind of hormones and digestive issues. And what I kept noticing, I kept seeing, it was like a mirror. It was like looking at a mirror. My clients were doing exactly what I was doing. They would take, you know, they would start eating, you know, eating a healthy, quote unquote, normal way. And they would start to lose weight and then they would binge or overeat. So something would happen and something would trigger it and they would go back into the pattern of binging again. Something, it could be a life event. It could be a fight with a husband. It could be unhappiness in a career. So I started to see these patterns of, okay, when we're doing these diets and we're not able to stick with them, it's not about willpower and it's not about discipline. There was something deeper going on. And I knew that that I was seeing in my clients exactly what I was seeing in me. I was starting to see this binge eating pattern and this overeating and emotional eating and hearing the words of, I just can't stop. I don't know what's wrong with me. I don't have any control around food. I feel so crazy around food. I can't just eat one cookie or I'll eat the whole bag. I don't trust myself. I don't love myself. I don't accept myself. So these words and these patterns started really coming up. And I knew that I was, like I said, that I was seeing in my clients what I was seeing in me. And so through my own training and through, you know, using NLP techniques and using, you know, kind of figuring out the kind of the brain science of what's happening when we're binge eating and looking at all of that, I started working on myself and I started figuring out what my triggers were to binge eating, what my emotional triggers were, what my food triggers were, what my circumstance triggers were. I started listening to the self-limiting beliefs that I was saying to myself all the time and really shifting how I was talking to myself and the belief system that I had. And I started working with my clients in the same area. And I started just seeing these amazing results with myself and with my clients of, oh, wow, if we're starting to really shift the belief system about ourselves and starting to reframe the way we're talking to ourselves, the results can just be incredible. It's incredible. So that's kind of where it started. And from there, now in my coaching practice, I work exclusively with women who are struggling with binge eating, emotional eating, stress eating, overeating. You know, it all kind of falls under the same umbrella of some people call it problematic eating or disordered eating, but whatever you want to, however you want to call it, it's really the cycle of dieting and then binging. So kind of feeling like I'm trying to be in control of food and then I'm completely losing control with food. So really getting women out of that cycle in a healthy, loving way that works and that lasts. And that's the key. That's the key. You don't want a Band-Aid. You want it to work and to work permanently. So something that continues to work for you.
I want to remind our listeners, if they have any questions for Michelle or for me, that they can call into the show, and the number to call is 773-897-6124. That's 773-897-6124. Now, we use this term, and we've been using it in everything, binge eating. For those who aren't familiar with it or, you know, not as sure, what is binge eating?
Yeah, so binge eating has a pretty formal definition, if you'd like to, you know, we can talk about that. And binge eating is when you have episodes of eating where you eat a larger amount of food than you normally would in a short amount of time. So say, for instance, a binge episode might be where I might eat, normally I would just eat maybe a handful of potato chips, but during a binge eating episode, I'm going to eat the entire bag of potato chips, and then I'm going to maybe eat, you know, five or six cookies, and I'm going to eat some ice cream. So it's just getting into a place where you're eating more than you normally would. You're feeling out of control during that episode of eating. And the big part of binge eating is after you have this episode, the feelings of guilt, shame, and blame that follow it. So that's really a big indicator that you've been binge eating, is if after you have this eating, you know, instead of, you know, saying, oh, wow, look what just happened, you say, oh, my gosh, what is wrong with me? Look what I just did. Now I have to starve myself, and I'm so awful. So you're really berating yourself and really going into the negative self-talk and the blame. So that's really what binge eating is defined as. And binge eating disorder has recently been added to the list of eating disorders. Because it is so prevalent now, yeah, so it's actually being now recognized as an eating disorder.
So I know you mentioned that you work – oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I know you mentioned that you primarily work with women, but who binges? I mean, is this something that women do, men do? Who really gets into the binge eating cycle?
It is primarily women, but there are definitely men who do binge eating as well. Absolutely. A higher percentage of women are binge eating, but like I said, men are not immune from it as well. So, you know, if a man came to me certainly and needed support and help, I would never turn anybody away. Just because I know that the struggle is real, and the struggle is support is so critical. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's definitely, you know, and binge eating can start very early on. So it can start, you know, for children and for teens, and it's, you know, so there's no age restrictions either, right? So it's kind of from the youngest to, you know, I've even worked with women who are in their 70s. So yeah, so it does seem to span over generations as well.
So why do people turn to this? Why do people have this habit of binge eating?
Yeah, that's a really good question, Carolyn. So binge eating can come from a couple of different places, but I think a couple seem to kind of float to the surface. So the first one being the diet restriction binge cycle. So they say for every diet, there's an equal and opposite binge. And that's kind of like a universal law, right? So you go on these really restrictive diets and say that you're saying, okay, I'm going on a no-carb diet. So you go on this no-carb diet and you start on Monday. And you know, so Sunday night, you know, you're eating everything that you can, every carb that you can that's in your house, because you know on Monday you can never, ever have a carb again. So, you know, Monday morning you start out and you have no carbs, and you go through the week. And then maybe 4 or 5 days in, it doesn't work for you anymore, because maybe your body craves carbs, or maybe you're so restricting yourself, and then something happens where you think, oh my gosh, I'm just going to binge. I can't help myself. It's almost like this primal urge that you get to binge, where you're like, I have to eat cookies and I have to eat cake. And so that's one that I find happens a lot, because we restrict ourselves so much when we're dieting. And sometimes the dieting is, you know, a no carb, low fat. Maybe you're following, you know, a very strict eating menu plan or a meal plan. And maybe that plan doesn't work for your body. Maybe your body needs carbs, right? Or maybe that is just not the plan that's good for your body. And so that can lead to you binge eating. And the simple fact of restricting yourself, because you know when you say, I can't have something, you always want it way more than you want it at any other day, right? So if you say, maybe you normally don't ever even eat Oreos, but now suddenly I tell you, you can never, ever eat an Oreo in your entire life. All you're going to think about is eating Oreos, because now you've been told you cannot have that. So that restriction can really easily and quickly lead to a binge, because it just feels so, even the word restriction can make your body tense up and make you feel like you're being tied down, right? So that's the number one thing I would say that I find with binge eaters, is because they go on these diets and you know, if you go even in the bookstore and look at the diet section, it's so overwhelming. There's a 7-day diet. There's 7 seconds a day diet. There's, you know, all of these crazy diets, and you can go from one to one to one. And most of them, honestly, Carolyn, are just, they almost set you up to fail, and they're unrealistic and can't really be followed for a long period of time. So we give it our best effort, right? We give it our best effort, and we go on this diet, and we stick with it, and we follow the rules, and we buy all the foods on the food plan, and we do it, and then we're starving, or we're getting cranky, or, you know, we end up at a friend's house for a dinner party, and we just find ourselves knee deep in a binge because of the restriction is just, you know, is just too much for us to handle. So that can lead to binging. Another thing that I find with binge eaters too, especially women, is that during their childhood, maybe they were a little on the heavy side and were told that they had forbidden foods, or they were put on a diet when they were very young. And so when they were very young, they began to sneak eating. So like for me, kind of, you know, sneaking the sweets and stuff. I wasn't told by my mom that I needed to be on a diet or told I was overweight. But for a lot of my clients, I find that it stems from very young, of being put on a diet when they were very young. So that starts a very early cycle of the kind of dieting and binging and sneaking food cycle. And then, you know, there's always something that I did for a long time was I did the kind of restriction under the guise of being a healthy eater. So I'm just eating healthy. I'm avoiding this, and this, and this, and this 10, 20, 50 foods because I'm eating healthy. But because I was restricting myself from those foods, I would then go binge on them, and I would binge when people weren't looking. So, because I wanted everyone to think that, you know, here I'm having, you know, this beautiful green smoothie, and then I'm having a salad, and then I'm having this nice piece of salmon for dinner. But then when nobody was looking, you know, I'm eating snowballs, and I'm eating chocolate chip cookies, and I'm eating bags of potato chips, right? But everyone still thought I was, you know, oh my gosh, you're such a good eater. But it was completely a mask that I was wearing. So, yeah, there can be many different triggers for binge eating. Those are just a couple that
you talk about what we do when no one's looking, and yeah, that personal responsibility. I've been talking a lot about personal responsibility on Periscope this month, and that's one of the things, that personal responsibility and accountability that we have for ourselves when no one's watching, when it's just us. But that can be that hardest struggle, because when you look at people, and, you know, times are getting tough, and then they're reaching for food. Why do you think that that's what people turn to when life gets tough? They turn to food.
Yeah, and you know, and I love that what you just said about how you're talking about the personal responsibility, because I think what happens too is when we say that we're starting a diet on Monday and we don't stick to it, we feel like we're out of integrity with ourselves, right? So that brings up a whole lot of more self-blame. And it really brings that up for us. So here I've done it again. I've broken another promise to myself. I've not done what I said I was going to do. And we turn to the food and we sneak it, and then we feel all of this self-blame. So I was really glad that you brought that up, because that is part of the cycle too. It's feeling out of integrity with yourself. And I think people turn to food because food brings comfort. Because if you think about it, we eat food for Thanksgiving and we give thanks to our family and we have this beautiful, wonderful food. We go out to dinner to celebrate birthdays, and we have baby showers that have food, and we have weddings that have food. So food really in our culture is meant to be comforting and gathering and a social and a place where we come together. So, but unfortunately, sometimes it's made too much about the food, right? Instead of so much about the social aspect, where you might see in other places where, you know, people come and linger a long time over the dinner, long after the food is gone, where here we might just, oh, it's all about the food, and we eat the restaurant and then we go. So I think people turn to food, number one, because it's the source of comfort, because I've heard many women say the food doesn't talk back. So they're getting the comfort that, yeah, but the food's not talking back to them. Yeah, I've had a lot of women say that. And because it's been something that's been restricted, and I'm going to tell you something, Carolyn, what I noticed when I really started to look at my binge eating, when I would go on these diets, these restrictive diets, and then something, my binges were usually triggered by an emotion. So say that I had an argument with my husband, or I was feeling bad about myself, and these emotions would come up that I really didn't want to deal with. And so I would reach for forbidden food. It's usually forbidden food that people binge on, so stuff that they don't allow themselves to normally eat. That's the Twinkies and the cookies and the cakes and the things that aren't considered diet food, that aren't considered healthy food. You never find people binging on celery, right? So they're always binging on these other.
No.
Yeah, right? Right, I wish I, right? So but what I found for myself was when I would be in this completely emotional place, and maybe I would be even on the verge of tears, or I would be super angry. And then once I noticed when I was binging and I was in the middle of my binge, I would almost feel this sense of like relief, if you will, because in my life, I was always trying to control everything. Everything has to be in control. Nothing can be messy. Everything has to be X, Y, Z and in order. But when I was binging, I could be out of control. I could be completely messy. I could cry my eyes out. And I could just be alone in this place. But now I've learned to deal with those emotions in a way that doesn't involve food. I've learned to kind of go head on and lean into them instead of just saying, you know, and even when I was binging and in the middle of these binges, I would be, oh, good. I can't believe he said that to me, and he was so mean, and da-da-da-da-da. As I'm eating this food, I'm having all these emotions, but almost kind of getting them out of me to then I would feel the relief, like, oh, and like this release of emotions would come out of me. So, and as I've questioned a lot of other people and talked to a lot of other people about this, that this thing that I've noticed in myself, I found other people to find that happens to them too. So the key for me was really finding a way to deal with life and deal with those emotions without food and without, you know, and getting that release and that relief without it coming from binge eating. And yeah, it's been a great journey for me.
One of the things you talk about when it comes to overeating, dieting, and binge eating is someone being able to listen to their body.
Absolutely.
That we were at one point taught this, but we don't do this. What is this, the concept of listening to your body and doing a body scan?
Right. So doing the body scan, and this is something that I do with my clients and in my new group program, is we do a lot of tuning into our bodies and listening to our bodies, because And as when we're younger, you know, we were really good at, I know when I want to sleep. I know when I want to eat. I know what I'm hungry for. I mean, we look at kids and you try to give them something like, no, I don't want that. I want that. They know what they want. They know what their body needs. They lay down and sleep when they're tired. They cry when they're upset and they laugh when they're happy. But along the way, as we get older, we lose that, right? Because society tells us you have to sleep now. You have to eat at breakfast, lunch, and dinner times. You're not allowed to cry in public. You know, all of these, you know, all of these rules and regulations come around. So, you know, even the simple fact of only eating at breakfast, lunch, and dinner kind of prevents us from really listening to our bodies. And then going on these diets and being told by one person says you have to eat low carb. The next person says you have to eat high fat. The next person says you have to eat vegan. Now you have to eat vegetarian. So all of these rules and regulations that come around and all of these diets that we've done to ourselves, we really kind of get out of touch of listening to our bodies and knowing what food feels good in our bodies. So in my program that I work with my clients, it's never a diet. I don't promote a diet, but I really help them discover what foods feel good in their body. You know, so they may have been eating chicken salad every day, you know, thinking it was the best thing for them. But when I say, before you eat that chicken salad, take a couple deep breaths, check in with your body, check in with how hungry you are. Are you really hungry? We use a hunger scale so that you know if you're hungry or not. And then while you're eating that food, how does it taste to you? How does it feel in your body? How do you feel after you're eating that food? Do you feel good? Do you feel nourished? Did you really want to eat that? You know, because we find ourselves eating this diet food that we really don't want to eat. And I'm eating a salad today when what I really, really want is a big bowl of clam chowder because it's cold and raining outside. And so learning just to listen to your body and know that your body has so much infinite wisdom and knows exactly the nourishment that it needs. So, tuning into your body is really important, and I'm glad that you brought that up. And so I help my clients kind of learn how to eat the food that's right for them, because, you know, what works for me isn't going to work for you, and isn't going to, you know, just because your sister lost 25 pounds, you know, eating prunes every day doesn't mean that that's going to work for you. Maybe your body doesn't like prunes. So, yeah, it's really kind of honoring and listening to your body. And once you're able to do that, and, you know, it's kind of a mix of conscious eating, mindful eating, and intuitive eating. And once you're able to do that, the most interesting thing happens is that your body's weight will start to normalize on its own. Mm. So, yeah, you will find that once you're able to do that, and I do find some clients, you know, kind of go through this little phase of, I'm going to eat what my body wants. I'm sure my body wants Oreos every day. And, you know, sometimes they go through a little phase of, you know, eating some of the food that they didn't eat for a long time. But then if you really listen and you're really eating that food and paying attention to what your body's saying, maybe your body says, oh my gosh, yeah, no, I don't like Oreo cookies, but boy, I sure like Fig Newton, you know? So kind of learning what works for your body. And once you can do that, and it's even going to the restaurant and instead of saying, you know, I'm going to always order the salad with no dressing and no croutons in this, look at the menu and scan the menu and then take a second and take a couple deep breaths and check in with your body. How hungry am I today? Do I really want a full meal or do I just want a cup of soup? Do I want to eat a steak today because I'm really hungry and I'm really famished? And, you know, so really just being able to listen to what your body's saying and then eat accordingly. And that, doing that alone can prevent binge eating, because when you're eating what you want to eat and what your body wants to eat, number one, you're not going to be as lacking nourishment and lacking all the vitamins and minerals that your body so desperately needs. You're going to be full and satisfied. And if you're full and satisfied after your meals and you're enjoying what you're eating and you're eating what you're wanting, the binge eating isn't as attractive anymore, because you're really satisfying yourself in other ways.
You know, oftentimes we'll go to a restaurant or even when we're at home and we'll eat with our eyes instead of our stomach, and we'll think mm-hmm. we want this, we want that, or we'll see all this on the menu, and then we'll often feel obligated to eat it all. because it's okay. The what is the old saying? Clean your plate, eat everything that you've
asked
for.
Absolutely.
So those eyes kick in, and then you're like, you know you're full, but you keep on going.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, one thing that I always do when I go to like a buffet or like I'm going to a potluck or something is, you know, we have this tendency to start at the beginning and start piling, right? So I was I'm the person that you'll see walking up and down the whole thing. You're like, "Oh, look. Okay. That looks delicious. That looks delicious. That looks delicious. That maybe I'm going to skip." So I'm getting what I want on the buffet instead of piling up. And then, like you said, feeling like I should eat it all because I took it, because that's what that's another thing, we are conditioned, right? So we have a lot of conditioning, and that can be tweaked and kind of reframed. Yeah. And yeah, that's funny that you brought that up, because that is so true. Clean your plate, right? So yes, I'm giving you permission to not clean your plate.
So I just want to remind our listeners, if they want to call in and ask Michelle a question, or if you have a question for me, you can call in at 773-897-6124. So it's 773-897-6124. So Michelle, how can people, you know, get this off of them? How can they break up with binge eating?
Okay, so yeah, I have a tip sheet that's got, you know, 8 tips to break up with binge eating. So I'll just go over, if that's okay, I can go over some of those, because these are just some really great tips that people can use. Yeah. So, but I do want to say too that, you know, learning to break up with binge eating, you know, like you said in the beginning, it is hard to do, and it is a process. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just as we don't just gain weight overnight, or, you know, we don't become binge eaters overnight, it's not something that is a super quick fix. And it does take working on yourself, and it does take support, and it does, you know, so getting support is really, really important. And having community around you that supports you as well is really helpful. So, but my number one tip to break up with binge eating is to know that another diet is not the answer. Another diet really isn't the answer. So a lot of people are under this belief that they're lacking willpower. And if only I found the right diet, I would be able to lose this weight for good. If only I found that diet, that magic, magic diet, I would never overeat, binge eat, or emotional eat again, right? If only my life was perfect, I would not do X, Y, Z. So I just want to, that's my number one tip, is another, going on another diet isn't the answer for you. And there really is no quick fix. And a lot of the times the diets don't work, because I have lost and gained the same 30, 40 pounds. I don't even know how many times. I think I added up one time how many pounds I've lost and gained in my lifetime. And it was hundreds and hundreds. I mean, it's just crazy. Yeah, because think about it. You lose 20 pounds, then you gain it back. Then you lose 30 pounds, then you gain it back. And then you lose 60 pounds, and then you gain it back. So, I mean, it all adds up, and it's so hard on your body too, right? It kind of messes with your metabolism, messes up your digestion. So getting to a place of where you're eating for your body and listening to your body is just going to improve your health, get you normalizing your weight, and get you out of the diet binge cycle.
I want to add one thing. When you were saying about another diet is not the answer, and you talked about kind of resetting your body by learning the new habits and what your body truly needs. A lot of times when we talk about the supplements and diet pills and everything, that is keeping you on a constant imbalance with your body. You're never really at a natural state while you're taking those pills and trying the latest fad. It's never like you're trying something that keeps you away, that will keep you in a kind of a binge eating mode or overeating mode.
You are spot on with that. You really are. because those aren't going to work and they're not going to last, unfortunately. For some people, they do last, and for some people, they do work. So I don't want to, completely say nothing works. But, yeah, but especially the diet pills. And I see a lot of people taking diet pills, and then you hear, take, raspberry ketones or green tea or all of these things that people think that there's some, they think there's a magic pill. And, then they come to me and their hands are shaking and their eyes, and it's like, oh my gosh, that, think about what that's doing to your body and to your metabolism. So when you can really get your body to a place of really feeling calm when you're eating and mindfully eating and eating the food that's working for you, oh my gosh, your sleep improves, your skin improves, your clarity improves. I mean, there's just, it's almost as if once you do that, the weight loss is kind of secondary at that point because you start to feel so much better. Mm. So it's really amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've done diet pills. I will admit, I've done diet pills more than once. And I just remember how they made me feel and just my heart beating and feeling like, oh my gosh, am I having a heart attack? What's going on? Yeah, those can be scary. Yeah.
They can, because they can mess up your the pattern of your heartbeat.
Absolutely.
They can throw that off.
Absolutely. Yep, absolutely. And then my next tip is making sure you're eating enough. So what I find with people who've been dieting for a long time, and this is what I did, was most days you're kind of on the brink of starvation, right? So you're having these little tiny egg whites for breakfast, and then you're having, your little salad with some vinegar for lunch, and then for dinner, your little piece of dried up chicken, and nothing tastes good, and nothing is satisfying, and nothing, you're kind of gagging it down. You hear women say, oh, I'm eating plain tuna out of a can. I really like it. Really? Do you really like it? I always want to say, is that really, I'm sure for some people that really does taste good, but to me that's just horrible. And so when you're not eating enough, that can lead to a binge later in the day because your body is starving and you're not getting the nourishment that you need. You're maybe not getting enough fat in your diet. And so you just will eat all of the food and you're of course going to eat it by yourself, and then you're going to have all the shame and blame, and then the next day you're going to go, oh, I'm going to do better. I promise to do better tomorrow. I have to do better tomorrow. I'm beating yourself up. So if you're eating enough during the day, so maybe for you that's three meals plus 2 to 3 healthy snacks to keep you full and satisfied and to prevent a binge later due to hunger and restriction. So for some people that's 5 small meals. For some people that's 2 bigger meals. So when I work with people, I help them figure out where they are, where that works for them, so that they're feeling full and satisfied. And the third one is a big one, and it's letting go of being perfect.
Mm.
And just, so realizing that when we're trying to be perfect, exhausting, and it's stressful. And it's time to let it go, because when you're trying to be perfect, it shows up everywhere in your life, right? So if you're thinking, if I was just a size 10, I would be worthy of love. I would be able to go on a vacation. I would find that perfect job. If I was just eating perfect, if I just put my perfect self on Facebook, if everybody thought that I was this perfect person, XYZ magical stuff would happen to me. But everybody's version of their perfect is so different. And so when people say, I'm trying to be perfect, they're comparing themselves to other people. And comparison is the worst thing that you can do, is comparing yourself to others. There's no quicker way to knock down your self-esteem than compare yourself to others. Because we go onto Facebook, right, and we see these people who are always on vacation and have these, seemingly perfect lives, but we don't know what's going on behind their computer screen. We have no idea. So if you can just yourself try to let go, start letting go of being perfect and lean into who you are and start appreciating who you are and what you bring to the world and your wonderful gifts that you have. And you will notice a definite shift in yourself, because it's so much easier to be you than to be somebody else. So much easier.
We're we're getting down to the last 5 minutes, and I want to make sure that we talk about. So I want to. There's a couple things I want to do. I want to make sure you tell our listeners how they can get your 8 tips, and also I definitely want you to mention the Food Freedom Program and what that's all about.
Absolutely. Okay, so let's spend some time doing that. This time went so quickly. Gosh, I could talk about this forever, Carolyn. I could talk
it
to you all day.
It typically does. It goes by fast.
It does go by so fast. So I do have this 8 tips to break up with binge eating as a handout, and you can grab that in a couple places. So I am on Facebook under Michelle McClintock, CHC, which is Certified Health Coach. Or it can also be found on my website at www.thebingebreakup.com. And if you just opt in to receiving tips from me, I'll get that into your inbox very quickly. And like I said, that's the 8 tips to break up with binge eating. I also have this amazing community of women in a Facebook group. It's a private Facebook group, so no one can see the post. And we talk a lot in there about food freedom, binge eating, things like how to let go of being perfect, how to be kind to yourself and listen to your body. And that is on Facebook under Food Freedom Sisterhood. And we have kept that group to women only because women feel really comfortable sharing openly in this community. So sorry to leave the men out of this one, but this is a group for women only. But if you need some support, if you just want to get some tips and tips and tricks, I do live videos and quite frequently in there and answer questions and give support around binge eating and overeating. So again, that's Food Freedom Sisterhood. And then I have my 12 Weeks to Food Freedom program that is actually starting next week. During this program, there are calls every single week with me and a group of like-minded women. I keep the group small. I like to keep them to 15 women or less so that we all have opportunity to talk and share. So it's 12 weeks of really learning the intuitive eating, learning how to listen to your body, learning how to end the binge eating and get off the diet roller coaster. And we even go into changing your mindset and shifting your belief systems and kind of getting away from the shame and the blame. We talk about learning to trust yourself and stop judging yourself and mindful eating and, you know, talking about forgiveness of self. And this program is meant to address the eating and the binge eating and find freedom through exploring your entire mind, body, and spirit. So it's not just talk therapy. It's not telling you what to eat. It's what's going on deep down inside of you that's starting the binge eating and that's keeping you in a place of binge eating. And let's go there and find out what those triggers are. And let's bring those to the surface and kind of deal with those and get you to the place of where you're living your life and really truly embracing you and ending your struggles with food and loving you and loving your relationship with food. And that program starts...
And again, they find that at... Because we're down to the last minute, so where do they find that at?
Yep, at www.thebingebreakup.com. And they can get a link right there under the Food Freedom Program. They can link, and right now it's priced very low at $247 because it's the first time I've offered it as a group. And I do have a couple spots left in that group that starts next week. And I would love to have some of your listeners in there. It would be my honor to work with them.
That
yes.
Awesome. If they're listening to the recording of this, I encourage you to still reach out to the Michelle. If you are someone who's experienced overeating, binge eating, or you are on that roller coaster ride of dieting. And remember, Michelle was in her 40s when she did this, when she really awakened and everything. And so if you're saying you're too old, it's too late, it's not. Go ahead and have that positive support system and get the help you need so that you can live a full, happy, and healthy life. So, Michelle, thank you for being here. We will be back here next week. And if you want to reach me, you can go to my website, infinitycoaching.net, and contact me there. Or, again, find me on Twitter at Carol R. Owens or email me at cowens@infinitycoaching.net. We're down to the last 10 seconds. So, Michelle, thanks again. Everybody have a wonderful, blessed week. And remember, if it ain't broke, make it better. Here's to your success. Bye, everyone.
Bye. Thank you, Carolyn.
Bye.
Bye-bye.